Maisela the Mouse. Maisela was the name most people called him on the rare occasions when they spotted him in the yeshiva, the Oikvechnik study house. Maisela, the Yiddish word for little mouse. The yeshiva was a quiet little place where people prayed, studied Torah, Talmud, the Holy Scriptures, and even a little Kabbalah once in a while. For poor old men and unfortunate young boys with no one to support them and nowhere else to live, the yeshiva was a place of shelter for the night, and sometimes even longer. Maisela had made his home in the basement of the yeshiva behind a box of broken menorahs and dented Shabbos candlesticks. As a matter of principle, he tried very hard to mind his own business. He stayed out of people's way, and for the most part, no one paid him much attention. Even Catskill the cat, who showed up every now and then to prowl around, hardly ever noticed him. Perhaps Catskill knew that having a mouse or two around the yeshiva was good for job security. Now Maisela had a gift. He was a very good listener. And from time to time, one of the young boys from the yeshiva would come downstairs to talk. Of course, that wasn't their initial purpose for coming to visit. Usually, they didn't even know that Maisela was there. Mostly, they just made their way down to the basement to escape from the rigors of studying, the pangs of hunger, or the pains of loneliness. And what could Maisela do? He understood all these things himself, except maybe not the studying, but he knew that life was not easy for the boys upstairs in the yeshiva. So if someone came down to visit, and he thought it was safe, he would peek out from around the corner of the box of broken menorahs and dented Shabbos candlesticks. And if Catskill wasn't around and the coast was clear, he would scurry to a stack of discarded prayer books, jump on top, and assume a thoughtful pose. He figured it was a mitzvah, a good deed, to just listen. And this is how Maisela the mouse met Borik the orphan. Maisela, like everyone else in the yeshiva, knew Borik had no parents or relatives. His mother had died in childbirth, and when his father died a short time later, he was brought to the yeshiva with little more than the clothes on his back. His only possession was a rusty little pocket knife from his father, which he treasured like life itself. Reb Yosele, the good-hearted caretaker of the yeshiva, took pity on the poor boy and gave him a little food and a bench to sleep on. And over time, Borik became Reb Yosele's assistant, cleaning up, bringing in water, chopping firewood, running errands, and going for this and that. And in the few spare minutes he had for himself, Borik would sit on his bench and use his little pocket knife to whittle on sticks he brought in from the woodpile. "What are you carving?" the other boys asked him. And Borik always replied, "Nothing." And it was true, for nothing ever seemed to appear from the little stick that grew thinner and thinner as the little pile of shavings grew taller and taller at his feet. One time, Reb Hershele the water carrier sat down beside Borik and asked, What are you carving?
Nothing, replied Borak.
I see, said Reb Hershela in a kindly voice. Here, Borak, let me show you something. Reaching into his pocket, Reb Hershela pulled out a pearl-handled pocket knife, sleek and shiny. From another pocket, he pulled out a small block of wood. As Borak watched in amazement, Reb Hershela's knife cut and chipped and chiseled away until the head of a little dog emerged from the wood.
Hear me, Borak, Reb Hershela said. If you can see it in your mind, your knife will find it in the wood.
But as hard as Borak tried, he could never find anything in the sticks of wood he whittled on for hours and hours with his rusty little pocket knife. One day, in deep sadness and frustration, Borak wandered down to the basement of the yeshiva. Why can't I carve anything? He muttered to himself as he stared at the stick in his hand. Looking up in disgust, he found Maizela staring back at him from atop a stack of old prayer books. At first, Borak was startled and raised the stick to throw it. But then he thought, why should I hurt the little mouse? What has he done to me? And it didn't take long before Borak was pouring out his heart to Maizela. What did Maizela do? No, what could he do? He listened, and over the next few weeks, Borak came back several times to whittle and talk and ask the question, what shall I carve? Sometimes Borak would bring little bits of apple, tiny chunks of cheese, a few nuts, and on very rare occasions, a sweet of some sort, which he always shared with Maizela. Then he would sit and whittle and talk. And what did he talk about? He talked about his parents and how he missed them, and how he wished that they would come to him in a dream so he could get to know them better. He talked about Reb Yosela and how grateful he was to be his assistant. He talked about learning how to carve like Reb Hershela, the water carrier, so he could make little animals for all the boys in the yeshiva. But mostly, he talked about his great longing to be a mensch, a real person with a real job and a real home, and who knows, maybe even a real wife and children someday. But Borak always ended with the same question, what shall I carve, Maizela? And Maizela felt bad because he never had an answer for him. One evening, when Maizela heard footsteps on the stairs, he came running out to greet Borak. But oy vey, to his surprise, he came face to face with Catskill the cat on the prowl for food. When Catskill saw Maizela, he pounced, barely missing the little mouse. Scurrying away, Maizela leaped into the box of bent menorahs and dented Shabbos candlesticks and hid himself beneath the heavy brass objects. Catskill sniffed around the box and then began to climb inside. "What are you doing down there?" a voice called out from the top of the stairs. It was Borak, just in time. "Get out of here, Cat, get out of here now," shouted Borak, and Catskill dashed out of the basement. In great relief, Maizela slowly climbed up from the bottom of the box. That's when he spotted it,
the answer to Borek's question, "What shall I carve?"
"Maisele, are you all right?" asked Borek.
Maisele peeked over the edge of the box of broken menorahs and dented Shabbos candlesticks to be sure that Catskill was really gone.
"I was worried about you," said Borek.
Maisele hurried to the stack of discarded prayer books as Borek sat down with his rusty pocket knife in one hand and a stick of wood in the other.
"Remember what Reb Hershele told you," Borek muttered to himself.
"If you can see it in your mind, the knife will find it in the wood.
But what? What shall I carve?"
"I know what you should carve," thought Maisele, "and it's perfect for Hanukkah. But how am I going to tell you?"
As Borek aimlessly began to chip away at the stick in his hand, Maisele suddenly got an idea. He leaped off the prayer books and jumped onto the box filled with broken menorahs and dented Shabbos candlesticks. Making sure he had Borek's attention, he danced around the objects, then dived down into the box and came back up again. Jumping to the floor, he scampered around the box, leaped back onto one of the broken menorahs, and danced a little hora.
Borek watched in disbelief.
"Maisele, what are you doing?"
Again Maisele dived down into the box, then leaped up and jumped from the branch of a broken menorah to a dented Shabbos candlestick. He vaulted down to the floor, ran to Borek, circled his feet, sprang up to his knee, onto his shoulder, up to his head, then jumped down to the bench and returned to the box of broken menorahs and dented Shabbos candlesticks.
"What is it, you Meshuggah mouse? You're acting crazy."
"Oy," thought Maisele as he tried to catch his breath. "I've got to do it again." So off he went, leaping from one broken menorah to another. He circled around the Shabbos candlestick and dived down into the box before coming back up for a little dance. Slowly Borek got up and walked over to the box of broken menorahs and dented Shabbos candlesticks.
"Maisele, are you trying to tell me something?" Borek asked.
"Yes," Maisele thought, "yes." Quickly he scampered out of the box and headed over to the stack of discarded prayer books as Borek began to remove the tarnished brass objects from the box. Menorahs with broken branches, dented Shabbos candlesticks, crumpled Kiddush cups and spice boxes, the spigot from an old brass samovar. And at the very bottom, what Maisele had so wanted him to find, a small brass dreidel. As Borek lifted it up to take a closer look, he could see why it had been discarded. The handle was twisted and bent, making the dreidel impossible to spin. But the dreidel's form was right there before his eyes.
"A dreidel!" exclaimed Borek.
"Maisele, maybe I could carve a wooden dreidel." And as Maisele looked on, Borek sat down and began to cut and chip and chisel away at his piece of wood. First he made a block, then he cut the point. Then one by one he carved the Hebrew letters, Nun, Gimel, Hey, Shin, for Nesgadal Hayah Sham. A great miracle happened there. Finally, ever so carefully, Borek carved the little handle. And wouldn't you know it, after all those hours of whittling sticks, the handle turned out as true, straight, and smooth as an arrow. When he was done, he gave the dreidel a spin, and it worked perfectly. "I did it, Maisele," said Borek. "Yes," Maisele thought, "and I am so proud of you, my friend. You have become a real mensch." Several days passed before Borek returned to the basement. Chanukah was almost over, and Maisele had begun to worry. "Maisele, are you down here?" When Maisele heard Borek's voice, he scampered out to greet him. But Borek looked different somehow, taller and more confident, but also a little sad. In his hand, he held a little bag. "Here, Maisele," said Borek, "I've brought you something to nosh on." And he placed a handful of nuts and cheese in a little pile on the floor. "Maisele, I've come to tell you something. I'm leaving the yeshiva. I've come to say goodbye." "Goodbye?" Maisele couldn't believe his ears. His tail drooped and his eyes filled with tears. "Maisele, don't be sad. It's a good thing, really. Reb Tzalik, the furniture maker, saw my dreidel, and he offered me a job on the spot. He promised to teach me everything he knows about wood carving. And don't worry, Maisele, I'll come back to visit. Truly I will. And look, I brought you a little gift, a Chanukah present. Something I carved with my own hands." Opening the bag, Borek pulled out a little wooden house with a little wooden roof, a little wooden window, and a little wooden door with a little wooden lock. There was even a little wooden mezuzah on the doorpost. Borek set the little house behind the box of broken menorahs and dented Shabbos candlesticks and stepped back so as not to frighten Maisele. "Here, Maisele, try it out," said Borek. "This should keep you safe from that old cat upstairs." Could this be a trap? Maisele wondered. Was it really safe to go inside? But then he thought, imagine actually living in my own home. So very carefully, Maisele entered the little wooden house, not forgetting to kiss the mezuzah on the way in. It was very spacious, and he could see Borek smiling at him through the little wooden window. "You be a good mouse, Maisele. Stay out of trouble. I'll miss you very much." Then Borek headed upstairs and left the yeshiva to become a woodcarver. "Sei gesund, Borek," thought Maisele. "Be well, my friend, and go in good health."